Welcome to episode 6 of the Slightly Serious Sign Podcast, the number one sign podcast in the United States, as voted on by Monterey Sign Supply. So, Nick, thank you. Once again, please get a real drill. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Nick. We appreciate you voting us number one. But before we start this one, I got a couple questions. Number one, am I supposed to look right in the camera? Or can I look over here? Like, you think it's episode 6, I'd know this question, but I don't know. Am I supposed to look here, Rick, or here?
You can address the audience.
It depends who you're talking to, right? If you're talking to me, then you look at me. If you're talking to the people, then you talk to the camera.
Okay. I got another couple questions. I watch, since we started this podcast, I've been watching a few of them on YouTube. How come we don't have cigars or whiskey or any of that kind of stuff here?
That's not allowed.
What? How about,
Extra for that version.
I think episode 7 is going to have Judy on. Maybe we could have wine with Judy.
Sure.
It might get to be a more interesting podcast, especially if we start it with a glass and then have to pretend like we didn't record and do it again.
Yeah, like we did the last one.
Yeah. So then she'd have
by
the time
we do six or seven intros, by that time we'll already be through a bottle. The problem is if we do one with you, Judy and I'll need one and you'll need your own. That's not fair.
Yeah, I got a pretty high tolerance. probably my weight problem. All right, so coming up episodes, we should probably say we got Judy coming on, and then we'll hopefully get a couple more suppliers. But I think episode 10 that we're going to look forward to is going to be the Hall podcast. We're going to bring your two brothers on here and hash out some things. Those people kind of want to know the crazy family that we actually have, how we all work together. If you work with your dad or you work with your sons, you're going to want to listen to this episode because we're going to tell you what actually goes on. If you don't, then you're kind of lucky because it's a little bit difficult working with your family because you got to separate family from work. So we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, we'll bring them all on. So you can, if you have any questions, you can leave them in any of our social media posts. Just ask questions you want us to answer on the podcast. We'll be happy to go through them all on that episode.
Oh yeah, for sure. Wait. We don't want mom, man, but not ones that mom's going to ask.
I'm
going
to filter all the questions so they're good. Really heavily favored towards us and against you. That's the plan.
Hey, right. So that's why we're going to have that episode. Anyways, let's go. Let's move forward. What's this episode about?
So today we're going to talk about what is the role? Why does a Wensco or anyone in the distribution network, why do we exist? What's the benefit? What's the cons? What should you expect out of your distributors? That's kind of what we're looking for. So in general, what is the role of distribution? How would you summarize that?
The role in distribution is a couple different things. Number one, we should be your warehouse. You shouldn't have to stock an abundance of stuff. We should stock it. We're the ones that are supposed to stock it for you. But we're also your source of knowledge because these manufacturers that make it, their job is to make it. Our job is to stock it and help them sell it. So our job is to make sure that you know what products you should use, what products maybe you shouldn't use, and then make sure it's on the shelf when you want to order it. And we're basically the sales reps for the manufacturers. That's supposed to be our job. And we're supposed to stock it and sell it. We're not supposed to be, hey, what do you sell? I can sell it to you cheaper and then direct ship it from the factory. That's not a distributor. A distributor is someone that stocks it, that you have a personal relationship with. And, you know, we see when we look at signs 101 and someone asks, hey, what should I use in here? To us, that means you got a bad sales rep. It's time to find a new sales rep, time to find a new distributor, because you should be able to call your sales rep and he should be able to answer the question.
Yeah, we think distribution, we should be your first point of contact. Basically, if you have a question, there's anything you're looking for, we really would want to be the first person that you talk to. And we don't want that in terms of we'd really want to sell it to you. We want that because we have most of that information, right? We're seeing it every day. That is literally our job, is to have the stuff you need and get you the stuff that you actually need. So we get a lot of calls post where somebody we have a website, you can go on order. You cannot talk to anybody. We get a lot of calls where somebody will order something and it'll be the wrong thing, right? They'll be like, hey, I put this on and it's not working. And we'll be like, yeah, it's not the right product. It is what it is, right? Send it back. We'll get you the right one. But we want to be able to have a contact with you so you can reach out to somebody and get those answers quickly. The other things I think you're saying, they need to be the warehouse. The other thing that comes with that is they kind of need to be local for the most part. Like you kind of need delivery for that to even work at all, because a lot of times we would love for you to order, you know, a week in advance, but we've been in the industry long enough to know that it's definitely not practical, right? Like it's most of the time you're running into something, or you thought, you know, you only needed 40 yards, you ordered 50 yards, it went wrong 20 yards in, you're going to be short and you need it today. That's kind of what our goal is, right? We want to be there, we want to be fast delivery, and we want to have it all in stock. So that's what, if your distributor isn't doing that, that's I think where they're failing you. The other one I think we're missing is equipment. I think, again, if you're going to the forums or Facebook to ask questions about equipment, you should be going to distribution. One, because we can tell you which ones we think, but the main one is we should have some here, right? So if you have questions, we don't want to just answer them. Like you can come in and see them, and that should be able to steer you at least in the right direction.
Yeah. And the reason you buy, you know, we sell a lot of different equipment, a lot of different roll to roll, but we're going to use Roland as an example. The reason you'd buy a Roland from a Wensco would be if something does go wrong with your machine. Number one, we have in-house techs, Wensco techs that can come out and fix it. But the reality is when things don't go right, like and it happens with machines, it happens with, I'm not just picking on Roland, but it happens with that, and it happens with Epson, it happens with Mudo, it definitely happens with Maki too. If we can't fix it, we will bring you in-house to print it. Like we're not, if you buy a machine from us, we are not going to let you go down. Like that's part kind of our motto. Like if we can't fix it today, you can come into our shop the same day and print whatever you had to print, or we may print it for you and you show up and we'll help you laminate it and we'll get it back out. So, you know, that's part of our job as distributors too, is to not let your company go down. Like if you buy something from us, we're not going to let you be down for a week and not be able to print.
Yeah. So we're talking about like, that's one way that distribution would be a benefit to the sign shops. What would be the other benefits to having a distributor versus, you know, if somebody wanted to like go direct or something like that?
Well, you have us for returns too, but you also have us for knowledge. You have us for, you know, we're stock it, we're local. Like you just talked about it. Like if you screw something up, which happens, we're here to help you fix it. And we've been known, especially here, like even if it's a Saturday, like you'll have enough numbers where like we'll come in. You know, I think there's a couple customers, you know, that use this probably too often. Horvath. sorry to call you out, buddy. But there are people, you know, we're supposed to be here for you. And that's our job, is to like help you run your company better. And that's kind of why that's really the basis of what we're here for. We're here to make you better, because the better you get, the more product you need, the more product we can sell you. And that's really what, when you boil it right down, it's our job is to make you, you know, sell more signs so you buy more stuff from us.
That's one of the big benefits, I think, of like B2B, is that we want you to grow selfishly, but it benefits you as well, right? If you grow and we did a good job, you will buy more because you'll need to make more. So it's a win-win. So when we're going in and we're like attempting to sell you, the reality is a lot of times we can see like, hey, you have potential to grow here. You're in a good spot. Let's scale this up, right? Let's get you more and more stuff. Let's get you the right equipment, and let's make sure you can continue to grow your business. Because if you grow your business, we will grow our business. So that's one of the big benefits from having a distributor. But in terms of distributors, we just talked about like people, we doing stuff for people like on a Saturday or a Sunday, something. I don't think necessarily you should expect your distributor to be like, yeah, on Saturday, I'm going to go in and print you a full roll of material, right? But we've been known to do it. I'm not saying it's against, but also don't expect it. But what should you expect from a distributor?
You should expect us to stock what you're normally buying and deliver it clean, not damaged, in a timely manner. You should be able to go on order, know that, you know, especially our website shows stock, that our stock on the website's correct. Like, hey, I'm going to go in, I'm going to order this roll, and I know it's going to show up tomorrow. That's what you should expect from us. You can expect like, hey, I've never bought this. Hey, how come you guys don't have it? Well, our inventory is based off usage. Like it's a little bit human driven, but for the most part, it's computer driven. So as you continually buy something, our computer system just says, hey, You need to put this in stock. And so, but you should expect it. If you're always buying, you know, an Avery 950 Red, you know, we should have it in stock every time you call an order, and we should deliver it to you tomorrow or pretty close tomorrow, depending on where you're at. But most of ours are daily deliveries. We deliver it tomorrow. That's what you should expect from a distributor, at least a good distributor. And you should expect fair and honest answers. Like if you call and you're looking for something very specific, we should give you the correct answer and not kind of BS you around what we actually sell. And some distributors will, but we're not here. Not like we're more to make sure that you grow and use us long term. We're not in the short. We're not looking for short term sales. We're looking to grow with you long term.
Just a quick story on that point exactly. When I was in sales, I had a customer reach out looking for, and it was an Epson S4600. This was like kind of the tail end of COVID, more like. As soon as they asked me, I knew we're not going to get it for you. Like that's just the reality of it. So I look it, I go and ask our internal, say like, hey, can we get one of these? And they're like, it's like 6 to 8 weeks out. So I was like, okay. So I go back to them. Hey, we have other options. The one you're wanting is 6 to 8 weeks out. If you can wait that long, great. If not, here's some other options. They call me back like, hey, another supplier said they have it in stock. They're going to get it to me in like 2 days. I say, okay, that's fine. Like I get it. If you need it, that's what you really want to get. It is what it is. I visit that customer 4 or 5 weeks later. I walk in, the printer's not there. I was like, hey, did you end up buying a new printer? I thought you were set on it. And they say, yeah, we bought it. It's still like another 2 weeks out. So 4 to 6 weeks, the original number I gave them. So that's kind of where we want to be in that spot, right? Of saying like, hey, I'm going to give you the honest answer, even if it hurts me, right? Like if you call me and you're a bigger shop and you say, I'll just apologize to Joe in advance for this one. If you tell me you want to be in 20, I'm going to try very hard to upsell you. And it's not because I want to sell you more. It is because I do not think that is a great product for a sign shop. So I will almost always try and push people towards, you know, a VG or an SG, even a 30-inch version. Just saying like, I'm not trying to upsell you in that situation, even though I am. What I'm trying to do is I want to make sure you have the right information, because what we'll see a lot of times is someone will go and buy one without talking to anybody, right? They just see it's a cheap printer, they bring it in, and then they're not happy with the performance of it. So that's kind of where we're at, is sometimes to be the bad guy, to say like, yeah, okay, maybe this product is cheaper, but here's why maybe you don't want to use it. And sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't, sometimes it works out fine, and sometimes they come back and say, yeah, I probably should have listened to you guys. So that's where I think one of the big things is your sales reps should be knowledgeable, and you should feel comfortable reaching out to them to ask questions. And that's where we are trying very hard to pump that money into our sales rep, into our customer service. So if you call with a question, hopefully they will have a knowledgeable answer for you.
Yeah, it's us knowing your business. It's that sales rep knows your business. And so when you ask them for something, they're like, hey, this might not fit my business. It's our sales rep's job to say, hey, look, that doesn't fit. Like, you probably should go this route versus that route. And sometimes we lose sales because they will still order that. And we've had customers like, no, I don't think that's a good fit. Well, I'm gonna get it anyways. Okay, well, you know, and one, we'll still sell it to you. Like, we're still, but we're also returning that printer for pennies on the dollar to get the correct one later. And you don't want to say, hey, we told you so, but you know, in their mind, they're like, man, you told me that. And now look, I lost money on this. And so that's our job though, is to know your business and know what you need next and to follow you as you grow. And we're not always looking like, oh, well, we're only going to sell the big shops that are already growing that aren't going to get any bigger. That's not our model. We fit, at least Wensco fits, in that mid range, like the low to mid range. And sometimes we're really crappy with like bigger shops. And sometimes we're good at it, but we're really good in the mid range shops. Like that's our bread and butter. That's the people that need more knowledge. That's the people that aren't just calling around asking the price and everything, and then this is what I want. It's the people that need the knowledge. That's where we're really good at. And some of those mid shops have grown huge. And some of them are grown, you know, they're getting there.
I mean, you can just think about, we put, you know exactly what I'm talking about, but like Cornhole America, we put a VG in his basement, in his house. And then 2 years ago, we just put a flatbed in a big facility, basically. So we literally watched him go from literally printing the boards out of his basement to literally owning a flatbed printer, like a very expensive piece of equipment. And that was in not a long time frame, right? We're not talking like 20 years. We're talking very quickly. He went from working out of his house, which is a lot of what we do, right? We sell a lot of houses, and then scaling up. And that's kind of where we, like I said, where we like to be. That's where B2B is the best, right? Is when I sell to a smaller shop and then we scale up with you as you grow. And it's, I think it's the best part of being in the spot that we are.
Well, you look at Horvath's example too. We brought him up earlier. We sold him a 24-inch cutter, I think, then a 30-inch cutter and brought it up in his apartment. And then, you know, as he grew, he knew me very well. We have some history together. He's like, what do I need next? And I never really oversold him what he needed. I'm like, okay, well, you need, you know, I would buy, if I'm in your spot, I would buy this machine. And he listened. And then, okay, well, now I'm here. What do I need to buy? You need to buy this. And him and I always joke about it. But the reality is I never pushed him past where he needed to be. And we just went one machine. And now he has two or three printers, two rollovers. I mean, he has just about everything. I think he has a router. And he's doing very, very well. I mean, granted, he's worked his tail off. Like, you talk about a guy that puts in hours like I do. Like, he puts in some hours. But you go to his building, it says Wensco on the outside of his building. Like, he literally, like, he understands, like, hey, we got here together. And we're still with him. Like, he's the guy that called me on Saturday. He's the guy that, like, and he'll call, and, like, with good, honest, good questions. And, but that's where we're at. Like, that's the kind of people, like, okay, well, we helped you when you were just buying cut rolls of fluorescent to put on race cars. And now he's doing NASCAR cars. Like, yeah. That's the kind of people that we really like. And that's the kind of people we help grow. And we never oversold them, and we're always there for them. And that's the people that grow. We like it.
So we're talking about places we've seen go from very small to very large shops. What do you see, like, are the commonalities between those that have succeeded in business or thrived?
The commonality is the people that grow understand that their time is valuable. And how are you spending your time? Are you spending your time making signs or doing wraps? Or are you spending your time calling back and forth trying to find the exact product, the cheapest way you can find it? And you'll spend a half a day, you know, to save $20 on a roll of vinyl, where the other guy already put four signs together and made thousands of dollars. So we can tell you right away, and to be honest, we walk away from some of these customers that are going to beat you up on the price of a squeegee. Like, that guy's not going to make it. I mean, he's simply not going to make it. He's so worried about his cost. And the reality is, and I'm not saying this so I can upcharge people, when you're so worried about, you know, paying 10 cents a square foot versus 11 cents a square foot, when you're doing a wrap job that you're already going to charge $5,000 for, you need to get your butt working on the wrap, not worried about your 10 or 11 cents. Now, as you get a bigger company, yes, absolutely, you have a procurement guy, but you're not going to get there by doing that when you're small. Like, when you get bigger, okay, now is when the actual cost makes sense. And for the most part, if you look around, we're all really close on price. Like, we're all, like, there's not a huge difference that's really going to make a difference in your business on price. There's stuff that, you know, we're cheaper on. There's stuff that other people are cheaper on. Like, and you can shop around, but, like, your time is the most important thing you have. And I think of it in everything I do. Like, you know, even if you go down to, you know, I have someone that does my lawn. Well, the reality is I'm super busy in, you know, that hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever I'm going to spend a week or 2 weeks on my lawn, that 3 hours can be spent better making money for Wensco than what I'm paying to have that guy do my lawn. So I think it all the way down to that, because, you know, every minute of my days, especially now as we're growing like this, makes sense to me. So time is the real answer. Like, know that your time is valuable.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a benefit to price shopping, right? Like, we're not saying don't price shop. We're saying I wouldn't do it when it's going to eat up a whole day, right? If you're going to, like, hey, we haven't ordered this product in a while, let's just do a quick search, right? We have, all of our competitors also have good websites. Well, some of them have good websites. And so it's easy, right? Quick 1, 2, 3 search. The other thing too, like I said, I think it's important to have a relationship with distribution as well, so that when something like that does happen, right, there might come up a situation where you look something up and it's significantly cheaper somewhere else. I think you should have enough relationship to just be able to ask, be like, hey, this came up. Is there anything you guys can do? I think the people that do that are the people that would succeed. And it's not, hey, I need a better price today. And then next week, hey, I need a better price again. When it comes up, you know, every few months, we're like, hey, this very specific product is, you guys aren't even close. Can we do something here? That'll come up, and that's understandable. But when it's regular, it gets a little annoying. But on my side of things, the things I've seen, we just talked about it with Horvath, but people oftentimes don't have the right equipment, and the people that are willing to invest in that are often the times I've seen them grow. The best example I always give of this is rollovers. I think people that are willing to put the money into that realize how valuable their time is. I've never seen a rollover installed and gone back and they've been disappointed. Every time they say, I don't know why I didn't buy one sooner, or in Horvath's situation, I don't know why I didn't buy two sooner, right? Like, they're so valuable. And for what they are, yes, I think we all agree, it seems expensive for what you're getting. You're literally looking at a table that does a few things, but mostly it's a table. But what it does do is save you time, or in some places, just literally replace a person entirely. Like, if you're having trouble hiring, it might be time to look at getting equipment that's going to hopefully make that easier, right? If instead of having three people do one 4x8 sign, you can do it as one guy, that's a huge benefit, right? That's giant. And I think that's what we see from people that grow quickly, are people that are willing to invest in that versus people that are still trying to buy BN20 and do full size banners and they're paneling them together. There's a place for that. Everyone's got to start somewhere. We talked about that in like episode one, but at some point you have to realize, like, I have enough business that I need to invest in myself and not just basically try as hard as I possibly can to get the signs out.
Yeah, I agree with that. And to the rollover aspect, when you got a skilled guy that can be putting vinyl on a police car or something, and you have him standing at a table doing flat panel stuff, man, that rollover puts that guy in a police car. That's going to make you money. It goes back to time. Like, how fast can you do a 4x8 flat panel sign with a rollover versus a person? You go back to that whole time aspect, and that's why we see, you know, more and more of them coming in, more and more people doing it. It's one of our, like, if we had a startup sign shop, it's one of the things on, it's the thing on their list after printer, laminator, rollover.
Yeah. If you look through, you probably can find this information online for sure. But if you just look through the Fast Signs and Signoramas and look at what their starting equipment is, a lot of them have that in the list, right? And that seems expensive to start out, right? You're like, do I really need a rollover to start? The reality is, if you start with one, you'll be so happy to have one, versus if you just figure out how to do it without one, you'll kind of just live without it for a while and you'll be fine. But it's a lot getting the right equipment. But we talked about what we've seen people do that succeeded. What are some other commonalities? We already talked about some of them in terms of, like, kind of wasting your time and kind of penny pinching, that kind of stuff. But what have we seen about people that have started and then ran out of business? What are some commonalities there?
It's just the opposite of what we said. Like, we've seen so many people come and go, especially over the, you know, 20 years that I've been here. And you see them, like, okay, they were working at somebody else's shop, decided, hey, I'm going to do it on my own. And you have to be organized. And the people that aren't organized, like, and I'll say this about any company, it's because it's mostly the salespeople that decide, hey, I'm going to do my own sign shop. So I'll say this about any company, for anybody out there, never let a sales rep run a company anywhere, ever. There's a place for someone that's sales rep minded. Our sales manager, Tony, is an incredible, he can sell anything. But we wouldn't have him run the company. And not that he couldn't, but they're so minded that way, like, I got to sell, that they're not thinking ops. And that's what you get. You get these guys that, hey, they went out and sold all these signs. Some point you got to go back and make them. And you have to have that process. Like, wait a minute, I can't do this. I can't do that. So we have a very good mix here when it comes to, like, sales, marketing, tech, CFO, all that stuff. Like, we're balanced. So when you get a sales guy that's okay, I'm selling $2 million in signs for, you know, X sign shop, and like, oh, I could do this myself. No, they always fail. And we've seen it time and time again where it's like, yeah, you're great at selling, but at some point you have to make it, get it out to the customer, service it. And that's where like, let's sales reps sell.
Yep.
Let us people that are like ops minded, not that I can't sell, but like operation minded, and let them run the company. And that's what happens when people fail, is they're only good at one part of the whole thing. You have to be able to see the whole picture.
Yeah. If we just go back for a second on what we've seen from people that succeed, we have seen sales reps start their own companies and succeed. But what they did right was bring on somebody that isn't sales minded, right? Like, you can be a sales rep and run a company, right? Like Tony could, if he had somebody to do the ops, right? Like, if he's good at sales, it just would be a detriment to everybody if instead he had to focus on ops. That's kind of what we're hinting at here, is like, you just need to know what you're good at and thrive in that. The other one that we've seen, we just talked about the franchises, but from what we've seen, people that just start too big, right? I'd love to sell you a flatbed, but if you're just starting and you're like, I think we want to get into yard signs, we want to get a flatbed, I'm going to be like, I mean, you better have a big old account that you're ready to move over before you're going to spend that. We've definitely pushed people out of big purchases where we're like, if you want to make the purchase, like, that's up to you. We'll obviously sell it to you. But sometimes I think people start bigger than they should, right? Like, I've seen a Fast Signs and a Signorama just in the time I was a sales rep both start and fail. There's a big startup cost to that, right? So they need to be able to bring in the business for that. And if you don't, speaking of, maybe you have the ops down, right? You have all the equipment, you can make the best signs in the world. You still have to sell signs as well. So as much as we're like, don't just have a sales guy, also make sure you have a sales guy, right? Like, you got to have at least somebody in your business. And maybe it's you. Maybe you're good at ops and you can sell, but you got to have somebody that can sell signs. We've seen people where they got the best equipment in the world and you go in there and they're like, yeah, we're busy. And be like, you haven't bought anything and there's literally nothing in your building. Like, I know that's not true. And that's what we see. It's just, they have too much equipment, can't maintain that type of business.
Yeah, it's true. It's so true. Like, when you say you got to have salespeople, you need to have good salespeople and keep looking for them until you have them. They're a necessary evil in my world.
So the last question I have is, so we're talking about why people have succeeded or failed. We have a lot of people that are trying to go direct. Like, what are some reasons why, if somebody's looking to go direct, maybe we would lean against, or what we've seen people struggle with when they did?
You know, I just know our struggles, because obviously we buy from all manufacturers and we struggle a lot. Like, we struggle getting the right products, getting the right things. And if like LEDs are an example, if you try to go direct to China and buy your LEDs, I know what's involved in that. And, you know, that's a lot of time. But I also know, like, a lot of companies that used to sell direct have gotten away from it, because, you know, the end user has problems and they have problems. Like, a manufacturer, most manufacturers are not set up to sell direct. They want to put, you know, a skid together for us, a skid together for Monterey, a skid together for Reese, a skid together for Regional, skid together for, or two skids together for Grimco, skid for GSG, and a skid for Glance. They don't want to put 87 skids for every Fast Signs. A lot of them aren't set up for that. That's our job. But if you want to keep trying to go direct, you're on your own. And sometimes, like I said, it's not worth it. Sometimes it might be worth it. If you got someone that's going to, if you're going to go through a container load of aluminum, yeah, buy it direct. Like, we shouldn't have to touch it for you. But there's not that many shops that are that big.
Yeah. And besides just being that big, that's a large amount of money up front. Is that money better spent, you know, somewhere else in advertising or in staff versus parking it in lots and lots and lots of dollars worth of one singular product? Besides that, I mean, we talked about LEDs, like, the amount of times with the amount of distribution we deal with a lot of vendors, and occasionally you'll just get a skid or a group of products that are all just bad, right? There's a lot of steps involved, right? So we have a person on our team whose job is to find products and bring them in. We also have an entire person whose job is to take bad products and send them back. And we keep her very busy just with that. in our 7 locations, right? So just know that if you do that, you get a bad product. It's not like Amazon, right? It's not, this doesn't work, click the return button, they give you a label. It's not easy. It's a very difficult process. If you get a defective skid, you got to ship it back. Usually they cover it for you. Sometimes they don't want to cover it for you. Or you get a damaged skid and they think it's your fault because the shipment says, yeah, it was fine. And then it showed up at your place and then it's damaged. And they say like, yeah, I think that's your fault, not our fault. So those are all just difficulties we deal with that if you go direct, you're going to deal with the same issues. So if you have enough staff for that, sure, by all means. But a lot of people, I don't think will have the staff to pull that off and not feel like it's a massive headache.
Yeah. Well, you figure we've been, you know, our job, you know, we're a distributor. We buy and sell. We've been buying and selling for 80, almost 90 years. So we've been buying and selling for almost 90 years and we still screw it up often. So if you want to get into it, just know like, okay, well, this is all we've done for 90 years. And we still get stuck with skids where we didn't mark it damaged or we ordered the wrong thing. So just be wary. We're not saying, hey, if someone's offering it, don't try it. But I'd be a little bit scared of it. Like, and I know what I'm doing because I've been doing it for 20 years. We company's been doing it for 90, and I would still, like, if I jumped out on my own and had a sign shop, I'd be like, I think I'd just buy from distribution.
Yeah, I think we're in the same boat. But so the last question, kind of to wrap us up here. So obviously, we think we do a pretty decent job at this, but if somebody is, well, if they're ordering from us too, I guess, what do you think are the signs they should look for that maybe it's time to look for a new distributor? What would be the symptoms like, hey, I don't think they're doing quite as what they should be doing at least.
Well, if you're buying from a company that starts with G, definitely should look if that covers Grimco, GSG and Glantz. No, for real. When it's time to look for a new distributor is when they're not helping you. Like, our job is to bring value. When we're no longer bringing value, it's time to look for a different distributor. And even if that's us, if we're not bringing you value to your company, it's time to get a new distributor. And it doesn't matter if it's us or anybody else. That's our job, is to help you grow your company in multiple ways, but we need to bring value. Because the reality is if our business becomes a transactional business where it's just like, oh, I always buy this and this and I don't need your guys' help at all, that's when we're going to struggle, because that's when, you know, someone like Amazon could come in and just take that transactional business. That's what Amazon is, just a transactional business company, right? You know what you want. You go there, you search it, you look at it, you buy it. And we should be offering more value. If we become that transactional business, if Sign Distribution gets into that, yeah, someone's going to take it over, because there's going to be someone that has way more money than all of us combined that can just simply, hey, well, I already got the distribution system. I can already put it on the web. I can do all this. So we need to be bringing value. And, you know, that goes for all of us. Even a lot of my competitors out there, let's just make sure we're still bringing value, because, you know, we're all in this world where it's, you know, like Amazon's taken over a lot of it, and even Walmart's taken over a lot of it, where they can just, you know, ship it. So I know that's my biggest concern. I know, like, that's other distributors in our industry's biggest concern, is don't become transactional sales only. Like, bring value. So if we're not bringing you value, find somebody else, because there are distributors that bring value.
Yeah, I think if you're a sales rep, or if you don't have a sales rep, I guess that would be a starting point. If you don't have a sales rep, you haven't seen one, first of all, just ask. Sometimes, maybe for some reason, you never got assigned one and they haven't sent one. But if you say, hey, I haven't seen one in a while, and then you wait and nobody ever comes out to you, that alone, I think, would be a reason to say, like, hey, maybe let's look for another distributor, right? Like, I think it's important for people to have people in the field and customer service reps that you can call into and get the answers. Maybe they don't always have the answer you need, but they have at least the resources to get the answer you need. Sometimes you ask some really crazy questions, right? This is a very complex business. If you're talking about lighting signs, something really weird happens and you call our customer service and ask them, they're probably not going to know the answer, right? But what they are going to have is people that know the answers. So you should be able to call us. We should be able to get you the answers you need. If that is not happening currently, I think you should shop around. That's what I'm saying.
That, and we have the context to answer those. I mean, our last episode, we had Tim Randall on. Like if there's a lighting question, that guy knows the answer, and he can't answer, you know, your question from thousands and thousands of sign shops, but he has all these distributors and all these sales reps from the distributors. So he's only got, you know, maybe 100 total sales reps that are calling him, and he's our source. I mean, he's a wealth of knowledge. And so it's our job to get you the answer when you do ask a crazy question. And we're not going to know every answer, but we're going to know the person that does know the answer.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, the last thing I'll add to it is just, if you currently don't have like a good contact at your distributor, reach out and get a contact there, because we end up getting a lot of business where somebody was buying from the same distributor for a while. They never dealt with anybody. They ran into an issue. They couldn't get it resolved. They lost the business. They lost that job. The job was late, and then they're just pissed forever and they move on to a new distributor. Sure, we'll take that business, right? But the reality is, if you would just reach out ahead of time and already had a contact there, it's a lot easier, right? It's a lot easier when we already know somebody. If they call and have an issue, we know who to get a hold of, and we can like, oh yeah, we've dealt with you before. We kind of know what's going on. If you're a total stranger to us and you reach out, you had a problem with some random thing, we're like, I have no idea who this is. Who's the sales rep? Nobody. Okay. I don't really know who to get this to. Sometimes you might not get the answer, but just reach out, get a contact. That will save you a lot of time in the long run. So yeah, hopefully this helps you. If you're having issues with distribution, or if you're thinking about looking around, obviously we'd love for you to check us out, especially if you're in the Midwest. But in general, just if you're not getting the help from your distributors, there's lots of us out here. There's a lot of regional distributors. So just shop around, make sure you're getting what you need. If you don't have a contact, get one. Almost all of them have sales reps on the road. So just get a contact, get in touch with your sales rep, have them come out to your shop so they know who you are. And when you do have a problem, it'll be a lot easier to get it resolved. So hopefully that was helpful. You have anything else to add?
No, I think you just said it right away. Look, no matter who you're dealing with, if you don't know your sales rep, just reach out to that company, whether it's us or somebody else. If you catch yourself calling into customer service because you need a return, that means you don't know your sales rep good enough. So if any of you have called and said, hey, I got this bad product, and you've called customer service and you didn't call your sales rep, time to get a hold of your sales rep.
Yeah.
Like we judge our sales reps by that exact issue. Like if they're calling in complaining, or they're calling saying, hey, I didn't get something today, and they didn't call their sales reps, that's how we judge our sales reps.
Yep.
So you should judge your sales rep the exact same way. Like if you have an issue and you don't know who to call, it's time to either reach out, get to know your sales rep, or switch to another company.
If you're looking to switch, we're here for you.
I mean, we are the best there is, right?
Top 10. Best in the world, voted on by Montroy. But saying that specifically, especially if you're looking for somebody and you don't know who to go to and you're not in the Midwest, welcome to reach out, right? We know a lot of these guys, so we'll get you in touch with somebody who's close to you. We're not shipping ACM panels across the United States, right? So if you're going to reach out and you're in Arizona or California or Washington State, we're not going to ship it to you, right? So we'll get you in touch with somebody who will. We know a lot of these other companies, so we're not just going to be like, yeah, we'll do it for you. We'll get you in touch with the people you need to and get you a sales rep. So you should be good to go from there.
But yeah, we'll get you in touch with the right person in a hurry.
Yeah.
So one phone call will get you in the right person. So anyways, I think that's the wrap up for what episode are we on?
Episode 6, I think. 6?
No,
Rick
7.
6.
6? Well, episode 6 is now done.
Yeah. What do we get, like a month off?
Or
we
episode 7. Stay tuned for episode 7. It's Wine Tasting with Judy.
Wine Tasting with Judy. Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the history of Wensco. Judy's third generation owner. We're going to talk about the whole history of Wensco with Judy. And it should be very interesting because, you'll get to see how Judy and I get along on this. I'm definitely sitting across the table with the thing because she always kicks me under the table,
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, a shield.
Yeah, so it'll be very interesting. Trust me.
So, yeah, stay tuned for that one. But thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you.